Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, World Without Mind, The Existential Threat of Big Tech, is a nonfiction critique of the power of major technology companies and the cultural logic that sustains them. Written by journalist Franklin Foer, the book examines how Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple shape access to knowledge, attention, commerce, and social life. Rather than treating technology as a neutral set of tools, Foer argues that these firms have become institutions with enormous influence over privacy, intellectual autonomy, and public discourse. The book combines reporting, intellectual history, and cultural criticism to explain how Silicon Valley came to celebrate scale, data extraction, and monopoly. Its purpose is not only to describe the rise of big tech, but also to warn readers about the long-term effects of surrendering cognitive and social agency to corporate systems designed to optimize behavior. It is both a diagnosis of technological power and a defense of the spaces needed for private thought, editorial independence, and democratic life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, big tech as a threat to autonomy, privacy, and independent thought. Foer's central argument is that the dominant platform companies do more than simplify daily life. They increasingly mediate how people think, choose, and relate to one another. By concentrating information flows inside a few corporate systems, they gain influence over attention, memory, and judgment. The book stresses that privacy is not merely a personal preference, but a condition for autonomous thought, because people need room for reflection that is not constantly tracked, scored, or nudged. Foer worries that when search, social interaction, shopping, and entertainment are routed through the same few firms, users become easier to predict and easier to shape. The result is not just convenience, but dependence. This topic matters because it reframes digital services as environments with political and psychological consequences, not simply as efficient products. Foer is concerned with what is lost when life becomes continuously visible to platforms that profit from knowing too much about the user. Secondly, the ideological roots of Silicon Valley and the normalization of monopoly. The book is not limited to present-day corporate criticism. Foer traces the cultural and intellectual background of computing and Silicon Valley to show that today's giants are heirs to older beliefs about technology, progress, and information. He links modern platform ideology to earlier utopian thinking that treated openness, scale, and automation as inherently virtuous. This matters because the book argues that monopoly is not an accidental byproduct of success. It is often embraced as part of the industry's self-understanding. Rather than seeing concentrated power as a problem to be restrained, the major firms present it as efficient, inevitable, and even socially beneficial. Foer uses this history to explain why traditional liberal values such as competition, pluralism, and intellectual property have become vulnerable. The point is analytical as well as political. Understanding the origins of Silicon Valley's worldview helps reveal why regulation is resisted and why corporate power has been able to expand so quickly. Thirdly, how algorithms, surveillance, and data extraction reshape culture. Foer pays close attention to the technical and business mechanisms that give big tech its power. These companies collect vast amounts of data, use algorithms to rank and filter content, and continually refine products based on behavioral feedback. The book argues that this apparatus does not simply organize information more efficiently. It also narrows cultural experience by rewarding what is clickable, measurable, and easily scaled. In that environment, misinformation can spread quickly, while serious or nuanced work may struggle for visibility. Foer also suggests that the logic of algorithmic optimization tends to flatten distinctions between high-quality judgment and automated selection. People may think they are choosing freely, but the available choices are structured by systems designed to keep them engaged. This topic is important because it explains the book's broader cultural critique in practical terms. The danger is not only surveillance in a narrow sense, but the gradual replacement of human editorial, social, and intellectual processes with machine-mediated systems. Fourthly, why journalism, publishing, and intellectual property are especially exposed. A major part of the book focuses on how digital platforms have weakened institutions that depend on originality, expertise, and editorial independence. Foer writes as a journalist and former magazine editor, and his concerns are sharpened by the pressures faced by writers, publishers, and news organizations in an economy dominated by platform traffic and advertising models. He argues that when content is reduced to data points and clicks, the economic basis for serious journalism becomes fragile. Intellectual property also loses force when information is treated as endlessly replicable and freely extractable by the largest tech firms. The result is not only financial strain for media institutions, but a broader deterioration in the quality of public knowledge. This theme gives the book a concrete institutional focus. The survival of deliberative culture depends on organizations that can reward depth, editing, and responsibility. Foer's analysis is persuasive precisely because it links abstract concerns about technology to the visible decline of professional systems that once protected careful writing and informed public debate. Lastly, resistance through regulation and the defense of private inner life. Although the book is sharply critical, it is not purely fatalistic. Foer argues that society can respond through stronger public oversight and through a renewed commitment to private intellectual life. He supports regulatory frameworks that would constrain platform power, especially in areas involving data use and market dominance. At the same time, he insists that individuals should resist the idea that technological capture is inevitable. That resistance begins with protecting spaces for contemplation, reading, and thought that are not constantly interrupted by notifications or commercial pressure. This topic matters because it shows the book's dual strategy, systemic reform and personal discipline. Foer does not suggest that individual action alone can solve structural problems, but he does argue that human agency must be defended at both levels. The emphasis on contemplation distinguishes the book from more narrowly economic critiques of big tech. For Foer, the ultimate issue is not just market concentration, but whether people retain the inner conditions necessary for independent judgment and democratic citizenship. In conclusion, World Without Mind will be most useful to readers who want a serious critique of big tech that goes beyond convenience, productivity, or consumer choice. It is especially relevant for journalists, educators, policymakers, librarians, and general readers concerned with privacy, media concentration, and the weakening of independent thought in digital life. The book offers practical value by clarifying how platform business models, surveillance practices, and algorithmic ranking affect culture and institutions. It also has intellectual value as a bridge between history, political economy, and media criticism, helping readers see technology as a system of power rather than a set of neutral tools. What distinguishes it from many books in the same genre is its combination of urgency and cultural breadth. Foer is not only warning about data extraction, he is defending the conditions for contemplation, editorial judgment, and liberal democratic life. That gives the book a sharper humanistic focus than purely technical or policy-driven treatments. Readers looking for a forceful, historically informed argument about why big tech matters will find it distinctive and memorable. If you would like to support Franklin Foer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you.